Well, welcome everybody. Welcome to the last webcast of 2022. Here we are, Barry.
Here we are for one last time this year.
This year, yeah. we will be back in 2023, Wednesday the 11th of January 2023. We'll be back here broadcasting live. And looking forward to a new year. What's going to happen there?
Yes, so, absolutely. And of course, I won't be with you.
You won't. So that's true.
No. Yeah. So, I'll be in Toronto teaching the School of Ministry Leader School, but I'll be back on the 18th. And
absolutely. So on the 11th, it'll be me, and who knows what will happen.
Yes.
We'll come up with a plan. So. Yeah, what's happening in your world, Barry?
What's happening in my world? Well, I got a new toy this week. New tech toy.
Tech toy.
I replaced my very tired iMac from 2013. So I've got a 2020. So that was fun, as you know.
As you know, yes.
Me
yes.
and my toys. Yeah.
And all went very well, didn't it? The changeover and the installation.
Yes,
that,
everything
that part
is
of the tech
great.
Life went well.
Well, I based on how long I've had my most recent Mac, I will have this Mac. I'm guessing well into my 70s, so I'm good to go for a little bit.
We're all very pleased about that, Barry. Yeah, we're glad you're good to go with us.
And how are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. Yes, enjoying the cold of Great Britain. Tonight we're diving down to, I know this is nothing for you, Barry, but tonight we're diving down to -6 Celsius.
Wow, that's cold.
That's cold, yeah, that's cold.
Yeah.
And then by Sunday or Monday next week, we're going to be +12 again. So shorts and t-shirt next week. The winter woolly jumper will be put away. Yeah. Whatever. So, yes, there we go.
There you go.
Yeah. So
do we have any announcements or anything? Or okay, no, do you have any schools coming up? Or?
Yeah, I just mentioned the one we've got coming up next March in the UK. So we've got our Encounter the Father Week in Shrewsbury in Shropshire next March. Really looking forward to that. 4th to the 10th of March, it's a residential week. And if you want to come, the booking form and everything all about that is on our website, fatherheart.uk/encounter. And I'll be doing that school together with Helene King. So it'd be nice to be working my friend Helene again, who's well into her 80s and has plenty of life and wonderful. So that's March next year. If you're in the UK, you're very, very welcome. If you've been before and you've got friends, tell them about it or come again. And even if you're in Europe, we're very close to Manchester and Birmingham airports. So it really makes it very easy for people to come from Europe. We'd love to see you. So fatherheart.uk/encounter. So, yeah, that's what we've got coming up in a few months.
Yeah. And of course, we just love our dear Helene. She is just such a sweetie.
Yeah,
I remember meeting Helene. I think it was in one of the early A schools that I was with James, and I think 2000 and maybe 4 in Hemel Hempstead. I met Helene. Ever since, she's just been such a sweetie. So yeah, I would just say for sure with Mark and Helene doing an encounter, just guys, go for it if you can get there.
Yeah. So this evening today, Barry and I are going to have a conversation about walking as Jesus walked. What does that look like? But before we kick off with that, Barry, do you want to just pray for us?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So, Father, we thank you that when you see us, you see us through the lens of complete and perfect love. And you love us as much as you love Jesus. And so as we just talk about this topic this week and this walking as Jesus walked, Father. I just pray that, yeah, we would just be free to be ourselves in that journey and not try to have some kind of unrealistic expectation of trying to put pressure on us to be like Jesus in everything that he did by virtue of our external efforts, but know that in our heart, Father, we are one with him and one with you. So we just pray, Father, that, yeah, just by your Spirit, you would just guide our conversation. Pray for open hearts. I pray, Father, that we would all, yeah, just with unveiled faces, behold the Lord of glory.
Yeah.
And in that beholding, that we would be transformed from one degree of glory to the next. So thank you, Abba, that you do the work, that you began the good work on us, and you will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we just commit this time to you, Father, and we just look forward to what you want to talk about.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Barry. In 1 John 2, verse 6, John writes this. He says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus walked. And I think one of the struggles we might have with that is that sounds impossible. You know, how do we walk as Jesus walked? And I think what Barry just prayed is that we would each have freedom in our own journey is so important. But I've believed for a long time, but I'm beginning to see more and more clearly that it really is possible for us to walk as Jesus walked, you know, and live as Jesus lived. You can read that verse in 1 John, and you can read it as a command. You know, you must walk as Jesus walked. But actually, at the beginning of John's letter, he puts it all in context, and he puts it in the context of a relationship. He says, this is what we've heard about. We've seen it with our own eyes. We've touched it with our own hands. You see, he's writing to them about his own experience, you know, and he's saying, this is my experience. It really is possible to touch it, to see it, to hear it. And that is so important, is that to understand it in the context of relationship. See, and walking as Jesus walked is not doing what Jesus did. You know, don't write a list of all the miracles in the gospel, stick it on your fridge and try and tick them off one by one. That's doing as Jesus did. It's not living or walking as Jesus lived or walked. See, it's having the same heart as Jesus. And it's walking in relationship with the Father in the same way as Jesus walked in relationship with the Father. And I got my little visual aid today. Barry and I were talking about this before we started. You see, you know what magnets are like. If you've got two magnets and you've got them the right way round, they connect together. They stick to one another. You see, and that to me is just a good picture of sonship. That's what walking as Jesus walked looks like. It's being totally connected to the Father. Now, you know, if you turn a magnet round the other way and you try and push it together, they don't connect. See, and that's what an orphan's like. You know, he's trying to, but he just can't make the connection. And one thing I've discovered with my magnets is, you know, you might not, as an orphan, you might not be able to do that, but you can do that. And you can have a partial connection and you can feel it's okay. You know, you can even do that. Now, that's not connected. That's on its side. See, like that. And again, it's a partial connection, but it's not a connection. And many of us live our lives satisfied with that. But that's not sonship. That's not the connection that Jesus had with his Father. You know, the connection Jesus had with his Father was that. Totally connected. We are one with his Father. And, you know, so much at one that I don't need to hold this magnet anymore because it's connected to the other one. And it's like, you know, I know this isn't, you know, this is taking a picture too far, but it's like As sons, we get our life from the Father. We don't need other props, or we don't need other things to hold us up, because all of our life comes from the Father. But when we're an orphan and we can't connect, we need props, we need to be held up. But it's as we change, as we turn around, we say this often on the webcast, unless you change, and the word for that is convert, unless you turn right round and become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so for me, this little picture of these magnets is really what walking as Jesus walked looks like. It's walking in relationship with the Father. And as Jesus said, he said, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I hear my Father saying. And that's, in a sense, our guideline too. And I guess many of us have lived our lives where it's not been the case. We've done what we thought was best, or we've done what other people have thought was best. But Jesus says, I only do what I see my Father doing. And to get to that place is a huge step of faith. But it's only a little step of faith, really, because we step into his arms, and we just let go. See, walking as Jesus walked is letting go of ourselves and relying totally on him. And so we just want to bat this around a little bit this evening between us. What does it look like to walk as Jesus walked? And if you only remember one thing from tonight, remember my magnets. Now, Barry, come on, show me how this is done. You've been sitting there waiting for this big moment.
I was being very patient. Now, Mark said to remember his magnets. You remember, he said, if you remember one thing. Well, I'm going to suggest that you remember my minutes instead. Now, do you think we're brothers at heart? And of course, being this is the last week before, the Christmas break, I think my colors, red and green, they're a little bit more Christmassy than yellow and orange. So
I'll give you that, my friend. I'll give you that. So, Larry, let's do a little bit of revision and recapping of what's just been said. What is a son?
Yes.
As far as your magnets are concerned.
Is this a test? Are you asking if I was...
I'm just doing a little bit of recapping.
Well, and the one thing that I came to mind...
Because I know you've been waiting to play with your magnets,
Yes. I mean, it is a very powerful illustration. But one of the things that I think about with this, because when you were saying this, the battle that we have is not in the realm of our spirit. Our spirits are united with Christ, right? Paul said in Galatians 2:20, no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live now, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so the spiritual reality is this is already the reality as far as our spirits are joined, it's in forever. It's unbreakable. It's absolutely the reality. The problem is in our soul, and that again, that's working out our salvation. It's in the realm of our souls. That's where this becomes the issue, right? Because somehow we think that I have to do something in order to achieve something that in by virtue of our union with Jesus, we have secured that same union with the Father. And one of the things that Mark said, I don't know if it was a big deal for you guys. I don't know if it was the 70s, maybe the early 80s, the WWJD bracelets. Did you guys have those in the UK?
Yeah.
What would Jesus do, right? And I'm not, and I read the book, and it was a great inspirational book. But the idea, this is not about wearing a WWJD bracelet and again, trying to copy Jesus' acts. It's about entering into that unbreakable union that we already have, because we are forever joined with Jesus and he is forever joined with the Father. And that is that's a done deal forever. And so I think the more that we can just sink into that reality rather than the carnal reality, I think that's basically, Romans 12:1-2, in view of God's tender mercies, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of worship. And then do not be conformed to the world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will know what, you know, God's will is for you. And I think this is what we're talking about tonight, is when we're talking about walking as Jesus walked, it is coming into an alignment with the eternal reality of who we are as his sons and daughters, and not trying to come in. And again, you know, it is that orphan mindset, you know, it's that, you know, and I'm going to just going to borrow your analogy again, or not only just an orphan, but a servant.
Yeah.
Right. Like, in, of course, an orphan and a servant are very similar in their mindsets, because a servant's working for wage. A servant gets his affirmation by, you know, what they do. But what did Jesus say in John 8? He said, a servant does not have a permanent place in the house, but a son belongs forever.
Yeah.
And I really believe that, you know, this idea of coming into the, I believe it's the simplicity of love, where we know we're loved. We know that. You know, our union with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said in John 14 to his disciples, he said, I will come and my Father will come, and we will make our home in you.
Yeah.
And I think the more that we are able to, just sink into that reality of that's who we are, rather than I have to do, I have to achieve, what do I need to do to earn, and or like, how do I get that union? It's like, we already have that union in Christ. And I guess the other thing that, you know, we talk about how we are to be conformed into the image of the Son, you know, that's Romans 8:29. That is our, what God predetermined in advance for us, that we would be conformed in the image of Jesus. The more that we are conformed into the image of Jesus, which is our big brother, our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer, but we are one with him, then we get to share in the same relationship that he has with his Father. And then we can walk out of that. It's kind of like, Mark, and I'm sure you've heard the analogy before, but like sometimes if we forget about our union with Christ, and the Father isn't safe. It's like we ask Jesus to ask the Father on our behalf, right? And, you know, it was like when I was a 16-year-old boy and I didn't have my own car yet, and I wanted to borrow my dad's car. I didn't feel maybe confident or safe enough to ask him directly, because I wouldn't say it right, but I would ask my mom to ask my dad for the car keys. And I think sometimes if we don't, we're just not convinced yet that, you know, our Father, the Father himself loves us, right? That's what Jesus said in John 16, that the Father himself, he said, you're not even going to go to me in that day. And he's speaking of the resurrection. You're not going to come to me directly. You're going to go to the Father directly in my name, because the Father himself loves you. And I think the more that we are able to come into terms with that, even, and we understand our union with Jesus, it's life becomes about us learning how to be sons and daughters from our hearts. And again, it's not copying Jesus' acts, but that's how we begin to walk as he walks.
I love John 16, the way Jesus says that. You know, it says, you only need to come to me. You can go to the Father yourself. You can go directly to the Father, because he loves you. The Father himself loves you. And I think, as Barry was saying a few weeks ago on the webcast, that the word for love there is actually phileo, which is the Father likes you. Actually, it was Brent last week, wasn't it? Brent Locker last week was saying that the Father likes you. You know, you can go to the Father because he likes you. And then the disciples, they've been mumbling to themselves all evening, like, because these chapters 14, 13 through to 17, these are the last meal Jesus had with his disciples, that last evening before he went to the cross. And throughout the evening, the disciples keep saying to each other, you know, we don't get it. What's he talking about? You know, and it's like they're, you know, nudging each other. What's he saying? What's he saying? And it's like, why doesn't he speak simply? And Jesus says to them at the beginning of John chapter 6, he said, Are you asking what I'm talking about? Anyway, yeah, we don't got a clue what you're talking about. But the moment Jesus says, in that day you will ask in my name, I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you. And the very next thing the disciples say is, ah, now you're speaking plainly. Now you're not using figurative speech. And it's like, I think Jesus must have gone, thank goodness. It's the very end of the evening. It's like he's just about to be arrested. Finally, they've got it. It's talk about the last minute of the last hour of the last day. They rolled in late to the party, but they got it. And it's like, Jesus goes, thank goodness. I've been with these guys 3 years and they just got it. And that gives me great encouragement. These disciples had been with Jesus every day for 3 years. They'd seen the miracles, they'd heard him teach, they knew he was someone different. They were hearing about the Father, they were seeing things for the first time. It was all fresh. It must have been a lot of revelation. And these guys are just fishermen, they're just ordinary guys. And it gives me so much encouragement that these guys were with Jesus and it took them till the last moment before they got it. And sometimes I think I'm a bit slow or it's a bit hard to get hold of or I'm struggling to see something. I just remember this conversation, the disciples going, do you understand? Do you understand? No, we don't understand. And then Jesus says, oh, the Father himself loves you. And they go, oh, now we get it. You see, and to me, it's that same revelation that we all need to get. We all need to come to the place where we say, oh, Jesus, now you're speaking clearly. Now I get it. The Father loves me. You see, because that's the thing that changes our lives and goes on changing our lives. Jesus said in John 17, John 17, verse 26, he said, I've made known to them your name. And Jesus says, and I will continue to make it known. And that's what we all need to hear. That the Father himself loves us, that God is a Father, that his name is Father, and he's being a Father to us. And that's a when we really get it, that changes everything. But it's not, and many of you'll know this, it's not just that one-off single encounter. It's the ongoing journey with him where day by day by day we hear it again and again and again, and it takes us deeper and deeper and deeper. So that these magnets are just kiddies' magnets, they're not very strong, I mean they do what they do, and that's great. But I've got some magnets in my drawer that are really, really strong, and it's incredibly difficult to peel them apart, because there's oh, that was my magnets jumping together. They're so strong, they just lock together, and I believe that the deeper and deeper and deeper we go with Father, the stronger our magnets will be, and the stronger that connection will be with the Father.
Yeah. It's kind of like being rooted and grounded in love, right? It's just the soil, in a sense, the roots of our heart go deep into the soil of God's love. Even in Ephesians 3, when Paul prays that prayer, right? He prays that our inner being would be strengthened by the Holy Spirit, so we would have power to grasp how deep and how wide and how long and how high the love of God is, and that we would be filled to the full measure of the fullness of God. And it's the Holy Spirit that lives within us that empowers that that connection, right? And of course, it's when we begin to understand, and I think it's a journey that we're all on. I'm on it. It's a continuum, but it's when we see how. I love how, I think it's Graham Cook, he says, me and the three, you know, it's the idea of Father, Son, Holy Spirit that are continually at work in us, conforming us into the image of the Son, and in order for us to be able to just live out our destiny and know we're loved, know we're safe. And I think when we begin to do things out of that place of, you know, when anything we do because we are loved, right? Yeah. Rather than doing it for love. And I think that's where, again, you know, when we talk about the magnets and the orphan heart or the servant heart, where we're trying to find our validation through our self-effort, is that when we're trying to, and on the external, it might not be too easily discerned if somebody's doing something because they're loved or doing something for to get that love. But on the internal of us, we know that's where the place of where we have rest and peace and joy, all that fruitfulness of the Holy Spirit, is it comes when we are reassured at a level in our hearts where we're rooted and grounded, and we know that nothing in all creation can separate us. And I think it's interesting, Paul, in Romans 8, verses 35 to 39, when he talks about things that try to separate us. And he says, for I am convinced, and you know, and some translations say I am persuaded. Well, to me, that sounds like he needed to be convinced. That's, you know, at some point he wasn't. And I think, and I don't know how you guys, you know, who are listening, how do you feel about this? But I feel, you know, in my own journey that the Father is continuing every day to convince me that he is who he says he is, and I am who he says he is. Yeah. And then that can just set my heart at rest. And some days I believe it, and some days I'm still needing to be convinced, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just feel that, you know, when we understand that we're loved, and there's nothing that we could ever do to make God love us any more than he does right now. There's nothing we could ever do to make God love us any less than he does right now. You know, I really believe that's where it can set our hearts at rest, and we can go on that journey, like Mark's said, and just, you know, it's like an adventure. You know, like one of the things I was thinking of, you know, there's a quite a few references to us being co-laborers with Christ, right? So it's like in our union with Jesus, like we're working together. And in our family business, right? Because it's our dad. We're working for our dad. And I was doing some posting the last couple of days for Advanced Post, as I was talking about. But I was at one point, you know, I was sitting there and I just had this thought. And I thought, Jesus, we're doing this together, right? We're doing this together. Yeah. And it was just this joy of realizing that, you know, walking as Jesus walked isn't like, mean necessarily, you know, going on a mountain and praying over some fish and loaves and multiplying it. It might be just posting blogs on the internet, or and I even think it goes further than that. I think it's when we're playing with our grandchildren, and you know, we start to find that whatever we do is holy, and you know, and then again, Romans 12:1, in view of God's tender mercies, present your bodies as living sacrifices. Everything that we do is an act of worship. Yeah. And I truly believe that it's a continuum. And, you know, like you said, if you guys are struggling with this, you know, welcome to the human race. It's something that we're all struggling with, but this is our destiny. And, you know, I always, you know, talk about, you know, and again, this is the little boy in me, you know, my imagination, but, you know, since NASA, the space agency, says that there's at least 1 to 2 trillion galaxies, I'm guessing we're all getting at least a galaxy. I mean, the Bible says we're going to rule and reign with Jesus forever. And I think this walking as Jesus walked on planet Earth is just the beginning of what eternity is going to look like, where, you know, I mean, I'm going to go over and see Mark's galaxy, and he can come over and see mine anytime. And that's going to be life. So I just think this is we're in the early stages, just scratching the surface of what does that mean to walk as Jesus walked.
Yeah. I think, you just highlighted something very important, Barry, is that some days it's a struggle. Some days it's a challenge. And I was just reading the other day the story in Exodus where Moses comes before the Lord. And, you know, this guy, he's got a problem, right? He's got a problem. He's leading the Israelites. And we know what the Israelites specialized in. They specialized in rebellion. And Moses is leading these people. He's on his own. And he comes to the Lord, Exodus 33, verse 12. And he says, he says to the Lord, "You've told me to lead these people, but, who's going to help me?" And when we read it, it kind of seems very measured and natural. Mm. But I kind of imagine Moses is coming before the Lord with all the anger and emotion and frustration of however many million or hundreds of thousands of people he's trying to lead and who don't want to be led. So it's kind of like, I need some help, And he identifies his problem. And then, Moses kind of comes up with a solution, which is a good solution. It's a good solution. He says, I can't do this. I need someone to help me, but I need you, Lord, to teach me your ways. And that's a great solution, because he's recognized that he can't do it in his own strength. And he needs something from outside of himself coming from heaven to help him. But I kind of feel it's like Moses saying, I need the instruction manual. And it's a good solution to the problem. I've got a problem. I need a solution. The solution is, let's have the instruction manual. Tell me how to do it. And the Lord says, my presence will go with you. And when he says that, Moses says, wow, if your presence doesn't go with us, then we don't want to go. You see, the Lord leads Moses beyond the problem, beyond the solution, and he takes him into an encounter, magnets. We need more magnets. He takes him into an encounter with him, and he says to Moses, actually, Moses, what you really need is an encounter with me where you experience my presence every day. And, I just feel like I want to encourage us to pursue those encounters with our Father. Pursue them on the good days when everything's going really well and everything's just swinging along. Seek those encounters because that will carry you through the days when it ain't quite so good. In Lamentations, Lamentations is just the story of our day, isn't it? I mean, we don't read it because it's so miserable, but it's just like our day, it's just like our life, and this guy's going, chapter 3, this guy's going through it. He gets to verse 18 and he says, all of my hope has gone. It's one of those days where he just doesn't feel he's got it and he feels hopeless. And he feels like he's got no connection with God. Maybe he just feels magnets again. He just feels a bit like that, and he can't get the connection. And it's just like he's battling away. And he said, Lamentations 3, 18 to 22, suddenly this guy in his desperation, he remembers something. He said, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. See, he remembers something that gives him hope. And what he remembers is the steadfast love of the Lord. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You see, what he does is he remembers, in his desperation, he remembers he needs that.
Yeah.
And he cries out for that. And he gets it. And, I just want to encourage you, and I'm encouraging myself as I say this, is, those days that we struggle, those days that we don't feel we've got that connection with the Lord, just remember his faithfulness, remember his love, because that will draw you back into that connection and that place of intimacy with him. The days when it's all going well, have those encounters with him to carry you through. See, Jesus went up the mountain on his own with his father. You know, he got away from the crowds, didn't he? He went off in the boat and, or whatever. They sent the disciples off in the boat and he caught up with them a bit later by walking on the water. But he needed, you know, the Son of God. Jesus needed those times with his father, just him and his dad. And I really believe we need those times. You know, we need those times, just me and my dad. You need those times, just you and your dad. And I really just want to encourage us to seek those encounters with him. Yeah, sure, bring your problems, bring all those cares and worries to him. But above everything, seek those encounters with him.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that I think it's understandable why we can feel this way in some ways is that when we don't feel his presence, right? Like, you know, Moses saying to the Lord, you know, if your presence doesn't go with me, then I'm not going anywhere, right? Your presence has to lead the way. And the reality, the biblical, scriptural, spiritual, eternal reality is that there is nothing that can ever separate us from God's love in Christ, right? There is nothing. And even in the times, like when Mark's talking about when we don't feel his presence, you know, my encouragement is not to let your emotion, or for me, my emotions run and making assumptions about God's feelings about me in that very moment, because I don't sense something or I don't feel his presence. And, you know, oftentimes for me, in those times when, you know, in where you just, maybe you're feeling like you're on autopilot, maybe you're really struggling at home, maybe with a family situation or the pressures of work, and you're just trying to manage life, and you're just, you know, you just don't feel God's presence. I, you know, something very practical for me that's helped me, and it's not a formula or anything else, but it's like you finding your way to connect with the Father. But it's just like, even just stop and say, Father, where are you in this moment? Show me where you are with me. And you know, in times like that, when even when in very difficult times, when our daughter was quite sick with cancer, you know, I realized when I asked him that, I realized that he was silently suffering alongside of me in my sufferings. You know, Paul gives instruction to the church, and I think it's 1 Corinthians 12, to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. If that is something where, you know, we're instructed to do that as the body of Christ, then that is fundamentally how God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit relates to us. When we are rejoicing, he is rejoicing. But when we are weeping, I believe the Father is weeping alongside of us. That's what it says in Psalm 34, that it says that the God is close to the brokenhearted, and he will save those who are crushed in spirit. So, you know, I think this idea of learning to walk as Jesus walked is learning to really abide in that presence, whether on good days and bad days, knowing that, you know, a bad day isn't an indication that somehow he's rejected us, or we've done something wrong. And then, like Adam and Eve had to hide and, you know, sow fig leaves, then we go and try to make some fig leaves to cover up what we perceive as our nakedness. And so, you know, yeah, I really just encourage you to, and I, again, I'm speaking to myself with this, it's just to continue to be mindful that wherever you go, the three go with you. And of course, in the same way with Jesus, I mean, and I'm not sure how it actually worked in real life, you know, when Jesus came out of the waters of baptism, right? His Father speaks, "This is my boy, this is my son whom I love." And then the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove. Now, I don't know exactly what happened, you know, whether he just kind of assimilated into Jesus' body, but it was like wherever Jesus went, like I just remember Jesus saying, "I'm never alone. The Father is always with me." And the truth is, no matter what you and I go through in life, the Father is always with us, just like he is with Jesus, because we are again, that eternal, and I'm bringing up my it's the eternal union that we have with the Father and the Son by the Spirit. And like, I just think in John 17, where Jesus says these words, I and them, Father, and you and me.
Yeah.
Wow. If that can just settle
more
today than yesterday, and maybe more tomorrow than today, that is an eternal reality that the Father wants to convince us is more real today than it was yesterday. I think it'll set our hearts at rest.
Yeah. We know the passage in 1 John 4:16-17. You know, God is love. You know, there's no fear in love because perfect love casts out all fear. I'd just like to read those few verses from the Message, because it kind of puts it in a fresh way. So this is verses 16 and 17, 1 John chapter 4. We know it so well. We've embraced it, heart and soul. This love that comes from God. God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house. I love that expression. Love has the run of the house. It becomes at home and mature in us so that we are free of worry on Judgment Day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ's. You know, and it's just that sense of, you know, we live in love. We take up a permanent residence, choosing to live in love. And we give love permission to go wherever it wants to go in our hearts and lives. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's the ultimate picture of security. That's how we find our security. That's how we find our safety. Now, I think we're all looking for that. We're all looking for a secure place. We're all looking for a place where we can let the guards down and just be us. You know, the world, it kind of forces us to put our guard up, you know, and we don't live as ourselves. And that's a constant pressure and tension. But when we can just really relax and be ourselves, it's so freeing and so releasing. It's actually the place of peace and the place where we can live in rest. You know, that's what the Father wants for each one of us. You know, to, as Barry said, he mentioned that prayer, Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3, you know, that we would be rooted and grounded, rooted and established in love. That like a plant sends its roots down into the soil and gets all the nourishment and energy it needs from the soil. You know, so our lives are rooted in the love of the Father. And just as a plant gets its life not only from the roots and the soil, but it gets its life from the sun. You know, we also get our life from the sun. Jesus, the light of life shining upon us. And yeah, just take time. Just take time to let the roots of your life go deep into his love. Because you can, I'm not a gardener, right? I mean, I don't do gardening, but I understand that a plant can grow too big for the pot. And it becomes pot bound. Well, you know, we are never going to become pot bound in the Father's love. We're never going to outgrow it, because there's always more. There's always enough. And let's just let the roots of our life go deep into that love.
Mm. Yeah. And I think, you know, even this, the timeliness of what we're sharing with this, you know, it's Christmas time.
Yeah.
And Christmas can be a time of celebration, time with family, a time of great joy and great love. Mm-hmm. But it can also be a time of heartache. It can be a time of missing those we've lost. It can be a time of even conflict, families.
Yeah.
And yeah, I you know, I don't know if Mark, how you feel, but maybe just you know, as we even enter the season, it's kind of a mixed bag, you know, and it, and just that even during this time, very practically, that God would just help each and every one of us in that sense walk as Jesus walked, just
Lost you, Barry. I think we've lost Barry. I hope you can still hear me okay. But Barry, you're going to have to come back in, I'm afraid. So we'll get Barry back in a second, and then we'll just like to take some time just praying and seeing what Father releases amongst us. Here he comes. Hello, matey, you come back.
Yay.
Those pigeons again. So we're just going to take some time just to pray together. And I think what Barry's highlighting is, you know, for those of us who are struggling, Christmas is not an easy time, maybe not a time of celebration. It's in those moments too that we can walk as Jesus, because we can walk with our Father. You know, he will walk with us. And he's with us always. So, Barry, we'll just pray, yeah?
Sure, that'd be great.
Yeah, Father, we thank you that it is possible for us to walk as Jesus walked. Father, we thank you that it is really possible. It's not out of our reach. It's not beyond us. It's not something impossible, but it's something that is really possible for us to do, that we can live as Jesus lived, that we can be in that same place as Jesus is, and that we can have that strong connection with you, that bond of love that just connects us together. Father, thank you that it is a truth that we are in Christ, that we are in him and you are in us and we are in you. And Father, even if we're in a difficult season, even if we're stuck with a problem, we can't see the solution. Father, will you lead us beyond the problem, lead us into that encounter with you. Lead us to that place where we know, in the midst of our difficulty, in the midst of our suffering, that you, your presence is with us. And may that just be a revelation that goes deeper and deeper into our hearts, that you've promised never to leave us, never to forsake us, that you love us with an eternal, everlasting love, that you are loving us right now with an everlasting love. And thank you that through Jesus, it's possible for us to come into that same relationship as he enjoyed. And his final prayer, his final words, were that we would know that we are loved just as he is loved. And his prayer is that we would be where he is. Father, thank you that is the unshakable truth. That whatever is going on in our lives, we are with you. We are held in your arms. Father, help us to experience that love right now, to know that we are being loved, to know that you are being a father to us. Father, we thank you.
And Father, we ask that you would just open up the eyes of our hearts so that we could know the hope of our calling and the glorious inheritance that we have together with all the saints right now, Father, not just in eternity, but right now. And as we just prepare our hearts for Emmanuel, Father, God with us, just the revelation that you're you will never leave us or forsake us. No matter what we're going through in our life, Father, I just ask just for a greater outpouring of your Holy Spirit in our hearts, Father, that just affirms who we are in your sight, and that the Holy Spirit will bear witness with our spirit again and again and again, as many times as we need to hear it, that we are your children, that we are your heirs, and that we're joint heirs with Jesus. So, Father, I just ask, even right now in this very moment, that Abba cry that resounds from the very core of our being, that we belong to you, that we came from you, that we aren't servants, we aren't slaves, but we're sons and daughters. So, Father, would you just again tell us who we are in your sight? Would you just reaffirm to us who we are, how much we're loved? And, Father, if there's anybody who is listening to this who just feels like they cannot feel your presence, that they feel alone and afraid, Father, would you just wrap your arms around them? And, Lord, I just ask for just an awakening to your abiding presence, how close you are, because you are close to the brokenhearted, and you promise to save those who are crushed in spirit. Thank you, Father, that you are a father to us. You father us in our good days. You father us in our bad days. You father us in the areas that we struggle. You comfort us. You encourage us. You strengthen us. You give us vision. You empower us. And Father, even in these coming days, heading up towards the holidays, Father, would you just father us in each and every one of us uniquely in the way that we need to be loved and fathered by you. Well, thank you, Jesus, that you are in us and we are in you, and there is no separation. And you are in the Father, so the Father is in us. I just pray for a deeper revelation of our union with you, Jesus, which has secured an eternal union with your Father, who is our Father. Any fears, any doubt, anything that would cause us to feel ashamed or disqualified, Father, would your love come and just drive every ounce of fear out of our lives? Well, so we could just know the hope of our calling and walk on planet Earth as our elder brother Jesus walks. Yeah. Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
Wow. We have a good dad.
Yeah.
Well, folks, thank you again for joining us. We appreciate your company.
Yeah.
Thank you for giving us the time. Many of you have been with us over the last 12 and a half years, and we appreciate your support and encouragement. Yeah. We wish you all a very, very happy Christmas, and we look forward to seeing, well, I look forward to seeing you on the 11th of January. The two of us will be back together on the 18th of January. Yeah. So bless you all, and have a great holiday break.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to everyone, and have a Happy New Year as well. So,
yeah.
See you in the new year.
Yeah.